Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Is your child currently learning English? Do you want to help them learn, but you're not quite sure how to do this? Well, in this lesson, I'm joined by Ksenia and Agnieszka from our customer success team, and they share their experience of learning English, but also on how they help their children learn English. I also give some tips from my many years' experience teaching children, which are simple but effective, and things that you can start doing today. Also, if you head over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you will find an exclusive tip there. So go and check it out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast. Ah, yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world. This is Andrea from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
top-notch
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're on your morning walk, drinking a cup of coffee, or even
running a marathon.
Oh yeah, so I'm very excited today to be joined in the global studio by some very special guests. The first is Ksenia, who is joining me today all the way from the Ukraine. How are you, Ksenia?
Hey, how are you? Thanks. I'm fine.
Great to hear. And I also have a second special guest, who is Agnieszka from Poland. So how are you doing, Agnieszka?
Oh, I'm so excited. So great. Hello.
Great. It's so great to have you both on the podcast. Some of you may actually recognize these names and may have even had the pleasure of talking to these lovely ladies over email or in our fluency circle, because they are Real Life's customer success agents. And I think they're really fantastic. And I think that they're going to add a lot of value to today's podcast. So girls, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And I know you're both very excited to be here as well and eager to share your experiences.
Yeah, that would be like a unique episode.
For me, it's something unusual just to be here, and so great because our podcast is like my favorite. So it's amazing to be here.
It would be so unusual to listen to ourselves on that podcast because, yeah, I also have this habit of listening to us.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, both Ksenia and Agnieszka were part of the Fluency Circle before they joined the team as well, and they've been part of the team longer than I have, so they are very much used to listening to our podcast and learning English with our podcast, so I can see how that might be strange. When you listen to this one, you're actually going to be listening back to yourselves featuring on it, so that's a really special thing.
Oh my God.
Did you just have a realization, Agnieszka?
Yes, you know, I'm listening to the podcast when I'm running, and you know, it's something that motivates me to run, and today the run will be even better.
You will feel so much more powerful.
For sure.
Yeah, it might give you even more energy. Great. So in today's podcast, we are going to be talking about how to teach children English, and also if you have children yourselves, how you can help them at home. So both Ksenia and Agnieszka are mothers, and they will be sharing what has worked with them as well as what hasn't been working for them. And I will also be sharing some tips from my experience as a teacher that you can start using as well. So with that said, let's check out today's shout out. Okay, so today's shout out comes from Stitcher, and it's from a fan called Eleanor, and it's titled Welcome Back. I'm so happy to know you're back doing great podcasts, and a welcome to the new people on board. This is one of my favorite podcasts, helping me keep up with my English now that I'm away from Canada, where I lived for almost 40 years. I appreciate not only the way that you teach English, but I especially value the concept you embrace, that of being a global citizen. You talk about really important issues, and that's a bonus for any English learner and for anybody else listening. Thanks for the effort you put in. I hope the podcast keeps going for a long time. All the best to you, and take care, guys. Wow, what a great 5-star review. Thank you so much, Eleanor. It's so great to know that you value the concept of being a global citizen and to know how much our podcast has helped you. And thank you so much for writing this review and sharing it with us. And don't forget, if you want us to shout to you out, just head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to us and leave us a 5-star review. This also helps other people have fun learning with us. So with that said, let's jump into today's quote. So Ksenia, can you share today's quote for us?
Yeah, sure. I really love it. It's simple, but you know, it hits the nail on the top. Or on the head. it hits the nail on the head.
That's a great expression.
Education's purpose is to replace an empty mind with an open one. Malcolm Forbes.
That is a really great one. And what do you both think that means?
That's really like an amazing quote. And I can compare it a little bit with, you know, this phrase when they say that a child is a clean slate or tabula rasa, yeah. Right? And this one I like so much more because it's like you don't see that kids are empty or clear sheets, right? This, like, they have this open mind, and we as adults sometimes lack it because we closed our eyes, closed our minds, and we're not open to something new. But, you know, the true purpose of education is to open up, to prepare you to, like, just to immerse into the real world, yeah, and to soak in this knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. And it brings also responsibility for what we are filling our kids with. So, we should think wise about it.
That's really true. I couldn't have said it better myself. And it's quite similar to another quote that I read recently, which was, we should not be telling children what to think, but how to think. So I think that matches this really well as well, because you don't just want to fill their mind with lots of things. You want them to have an open mind, you know, to be global citizens, to be open to lots of things and to experience lots of things as well.
Awesome. This is really something I like.
So I think that's a really good point to jump in today's main topic. So in case you didn't know, I have over 10 years teaching experience, and I have taught in schools both in London and in Barcelona, and I was most recently the principal of a primary school, so I have a lot of experience teaching children. And we've invited Ksenia and Agnieszka today on the podcast to share their experience as well, because they also have children. So maybe, Ksenia, if you could let us know a little bit about your child.
Yeah, sure. It's lovely kid. I have a daughter. She's 5 years old. She'll be turning like 6 next winter, and the next year will be really exciting. She's gonna start primary school. Right now she's in the kindergarten.
Excellent. And what about you, Agnieszka?
I'm a mother of 2 boys, and it's really challenging because there is 10 years difference between them, because the youngest is 8 and the oldest is 18 right now. So I have really rich experience so far.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's a lot of years experience. And I'm sure there's a lot of experience that you can share with us today that's really going to help people. So first of all, I think it's good to know, do your children learn English at school?
Yeah, we have like an additional class of English, so it's not mandatory. It's like all kids in kindergarten may choose whether to learn English or not. Mira is learning English.
Awesome. And my kids also, they have English classes, and it's, I think, 2 or 3 times a week that they have English classes.
Okay, that's great. And do you talk to your kids in English at home at all, or not really? Are there any activities that you do with them in English?
I sometimes talk to my oldest because he knows English already, so we practice together and we have fun because others don't understand us, so we can have our secrets. So it's fun. But I don't talk to the youngest because he doesn't understand and he really doesn't enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell that I thought it would be such a great idea to have a bilingual child. So I was thinking about starting talking to Mira at a very young age. But I'm not sure if that was my laziness or this doubt that, wow, she doesn't understand anything. Maybe it's better like to postpone talking in English to her. So basically, right, I was like, I think I was late. I started exposing her to English like after 3 years old. So before that, I can't tell that I talked to her. No, maybe I played some cartoons for her, but not talking.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think that's something that a lot of parents consider at the beginning. Like, they wonder maybe if it's going to be confusing for their child to be listening to and learning more languages. In my experience and from what I know, like, you don't have to worry about it, you know? Children at that age are like a sponge and they're just going to absorb everything around them and all the vocabulary. And what happens is they might not at the beginning distinguish which language is which, but they will be able to understand you. So if you are considering speaking to your child in English as well as their native language, don't be afraid to do so. It's not going to confuse them too much, and it could actually be really beneficial because at that age, when we are children, we learn a lot quicker. So don't be worried if you are doing that right now. And also, if you're not doing that right now, you know, it's a personal choice and there's still plenty of time for your children to learn English as well. So I really think it's just down to personal preference and there's no right or wrong way necessarily.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our three-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So we're going to give you some steps to success today that you can start using when helping your children learning English, or if you want to begin. You don't have to do these, but you might find some really great ideas that you can start using now, and you might want to try them because some will work for you and maybe some won't. So Ksenia and Agnieszka will be telling us a little bit about their experience with these steps as well and how they've worked for them. So the first one is to set a routine. Now, especially with younger children, you don't want to be sat at a table with a textbook and making learning English really boring, because then they're going to have this negative feeling towards learning English. So what I recommend is that you just start out with 15 to 20 minutes a day, doesn't need to be more, and you can pick a time and stick to it. Especially if your children already have a routine, this can be a really great way of starting to learn English and it being part of your routine. Short and regular sessions or activities are going to be more beneficial than long and irregular ones. So maybe, guys, you can tell us a little bit about your experience with this, if your children have a routine and if this has worked for you or if it hasn't.
I've never followed any routine if it goes to teaching English, so my kids never were taught by me, and truly I don't believe it should be, because for now I think it's better for them just to be free, and English is not necessary to their life right now. Maybe the oldest is in different stage, but Timon, who is 8, he still has time to be fluent and to learn English. And what I did was keeping the routine with them, because I think that this is really important for kids, that they feel safe when they have know what to expect from you at what time. So I had no troubles with them to go to sleep, to go to bath, because they already knew what to do, because I from the very beginning, when they was infants, I set the routine. So there was time for bathroom, for sleeping, for eating, for morning routines. And I see that it works if we have a schedule. Even we can say that it's a schedule and it's a sequence of activities we repeat every day.
Yeah, this is definitely what I should implement because I personally lack the routine myself. And if talking about teaching English, the only routine, what can be called routine right now, is that Mira right now is using Lingo Kids app, and I set it to use 15 minutes per day. So for example, if we skip one day, at the end of the day, in the evening, I get a notification that Mira skipped her English class today. So sometimes it's even before going to bed or already in bed, I give her my phone, my smartphone. Basically, kids are playing there, but they learn English together, like with playing along the game.
Yeah, that sounds really good. That sounds really useful. And I think it's good to have reminders as well, mm-hmm. so that you try to remember not to skip days, because like I mentioned earlier, regular sessions and, you know, having this as part of your routine is going to be really beneficial. And what you mentioned, Agnieszka, about your kids having a kind of schedule with, you know, when they eat, when they bath, when they go to sleep, and having this routine every day is really good. It's really important. I understand that maybe it's easier said than done sometimes, depending on your lifestyle and everything. So it's always a challenge. But, you know, just like in school, we have routines with the kids and they enjoy having this routine. They kind of anticipate what's going to happen next, or, you know, sometimes they're so used to it, they already know, but they're excited to go on to the next thing and to be aware of what is happening. Like you mentioned as well, it helps them to feel safe as well, because they kind of know their routine already. And so that can be really good for their emotional well-being as well.
That's true.
Okay, so the next step to success is to play games and sing songs. So we've spoken about this already a little bit with Ksenia mentioning the app that she uses with her daughter. And there are so many great free resources online now, which are great for learning vocabulary. You can even, when you're learning a song, you can add actions to the words. And this is really going to help children's memory as well. I remember my experience with teaching children in kindergarten, or as we say in the UK, reception class, when they're like 4 and 5 years old, we start to teach them phonics, the sounds, and we do this through songs and actions. So immediately the children, if you're saying ah, 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 they will start going ah, ah, ants on my arm, and they're doing this action of the ants crawling up their arm and saying the sound as well. And this is how we teach phonics in the UK. So it's a really useful tool. I think also it's important to consider that children have different learning styles. So this one in particular is really good because it's good for children that like to listen to the sounds and the songs. It's good for children that are kinesthetic learners that like to be moving. That movement helps them to remember things as well, with the action of doing the sound as well. And, you know, if you have the visual as well, then you're thinking about all different types of learners. So have you guys used, apart from some apps, do you guys sing songs with your children when they're younger, or play any kinds of games with them?
Yeah, it's just like in the app, it's a great collection of music and songs she can dance to. But you were asking about me, like singing with her. If I were more consistent, she would sing a lot of songs right now. But one of our favorite songs in English right now, and it was so easy to learn it. In fact, it was like it took me once or maybe two times singing to her and to play some nursery rhymes from YouTube. And she already remembered it. Why? Because it was like connected with her emotions. So every time it rains outside, we start singing "Rain, Rain, Go Away," because like, and it's already like automatic. She like opens the window. Okay, it's raining, and we start "Rain, Rain, Go Away." And it was like I think it was the first song she learned in English, and it's still like, you know, plays every time we see the rain.
That's really great, because, you know, that's how children learn things, is by doing and by it being in context as well. So, you know, by looking out at the weather, she automatically thinks of this song, and she's just reinforcing her English and her learning. So that's a really great way to learn.
It's true. But what has to do mothers who don't like singing and they don't teach their boys to sing also? And I think that my boys never liked singing, and it was never a thing that they enjoyed. I remember when my Timon was 3 years and he watched cartoons on YouTube. This was Russian cartoons, because I wasn't driven to English right then, so I allowed him to watch it. And he barely spoke Polish then, but he learned Russian colors, Russian numbers, Russian car brands, and he even argued with us how to pronounce them, because in Russian way it's different than from Polish one. So he argued with us that we are not right, because he knew how to do it, and it was so cute at that moment to have it. But now he don't remember at all, because repeating is important. Yeah,
exactly. It's true. Like, repetition is really important with children, so that, you know, it stays with them. It's even the way that, in my experience with the British curriculum, it's the type of curriculum that you repeat every year, but you're building on what you've done the previous years. So sometimes, maybe if you're in a class with 10-year-olds and you're about to start a topic with maths, they'll be like, oh, but we did this last year. And then you explain to them, yes, you did do it last year, but we're going to like revise what you did and challenge yourselves more. We're going to build on it, because you don't stop learning. You don't just learn it once and that's it. You have to revise it. You have to then build on it, and you go to the next level, because learning continues even as you become an adult. And this is something that we always explain to children in school, is that you don't just learn something once and have it. Like, you keep learning, and even us as adults, we are always learning. It never stops. And I think that's something that some children don't realize very early on, and it's a good conversation to have with them. But that's really interesting, Agnieszka, because you've got two boys, so it's different as well what boys like, what girls like. You know, every child is individual, not even just their gender, so they're going to have different interests, which leads me to the next step to success, is to use your child's interests to motivate them and to keep them engaged in what they are doing. Because as I mentioned earlier, if they are bored when learning English, they're going to have a really negative mindset towards it and they won't want to do it. So you have to find something that they enjoy and make it a fun and positive learning experience. So what works for one person might not work for another. So while Ksenia likes singing songs with her daughter, Agnieszka doesn't like singing songs, and also her boys don't like singing songs. So, you know, it's like trial and error. You'll try something, and if it doesn't work, you can try something else.
So let's say that I tried the Minecraft game and it worked for both, because it's an old game, so both had the possibility to try it. And my oldest told me that he learned a lot of vocabulary from Minecraft, so it was cool. And also other computer games, they need also to connect with other people, because they play in the web, so they connect with friends from all over the world. And I hope those are kids. Anyway, my son had told me about his that he played with some Romanians. They talked to each other in English. He said that we barely speak in English, but we have fun, we can understand each other. And now I see that also the youngest, he also started to play Minecraft, and it's his favorite game. And he very often asked me about a meaning of a word, or to how to pronounce it. And I also can learn something from it, because sometimes those words are really, I don't know them. So it's good for me. It's good for me to that they learn from Minecraft.
Yeah, games are a great way to learn new vocabulary. Like, we often say to adults when they're learning English as well, like, change one of your life things into English. So whether it's learning something new or, you know, doing a class online or going to a yoga class or something and doing it in English, you're going to be learning a lot of new vocabulary related to that. So even with children as well, like you could choose to play one particular game in English or, you know, do one kind of experience with them that you only do in English as well. So it doesn't have to be something that you're doing sat at a desk or something that's boring, but it's finding something that they enjoy and maybe something that you do every day as well, so that it's consistent. And just one thing, you know, it doesn't have to be more. That's really going to make a difference. So thinking of games as well, just a little tip here as well, games such as Simon Says. I don't know if you guys know this one, but so someone is Simon and says, Simon says, put your hands on your head, and then everyone does it. But then when you say put your hands on your head without saying Simon Says, you're not supposed to do it. So it's like following instructions, but also children are learning parts of the body, because you might say, Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, stand up. So then they're learning all of these actions. They're moving around and they're also following instructions, which is a really good game to start with young learners as well. And they really enjoy it. Do you guys have this game in Poland and Ukraine?
No, I think that they have such games, but it's mostly played on in kindergartens or in schools, because I've never heard, maybe I've heard about this game from TV, but I never played it and I don't know it myself. But I think that they have something like that in kindergarten, because somehow my son knows a bit English, so it should be from somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, Mira is too young, I think, for them, but maybe not. And maybe they also have this game at her English classes. What I created for her is when she was even younger. She really has a lot of toys at home, like really, really a lot. So we like collected all animals, like put them in a line. And when she was really small, I used to ask her to bring me, like, for example, bring me the elephant or bring me the monkey. And this was such a fun game for her. She was like, there were like 12, 15 animals in the line. And she brought like everyone to me. And it was really fun way to learn the names of the animals in English.
That's a really good idea. That's a really useful tip and a really fun way, I'm sure, for children to learn animal names as well. And if they love doing it, it's something that they'll want to repeat a lot as well. So then that's really going to stay within their memory. They won't forget the animal names in English either. So that's a really useful tip as well there. And going into the next one, so stories are really great for children. And again, I understand, you know, if English is not their first language, you might also be focused on their mother tongue. But have you had any experience with reading to your children in English as well?
We've got a mini library of English books, because I think I love books more than Mira does. So this is me who buys all those books. But we already have our favorite ones. I really, really love the Osborne Phonics collection. Yeah, or they call it like Osborne Phonics Readers. So it uses like the title of the book and the like the content of the book is rhyming. So for example, I have here like snail brings the mail. And it really helped to remember, to memorize the words, because like, for example, when I start reading, she already can remember like the next line because it rhymes, not use our native language so much.
That's really great, because again, she's going to be learning the word by association rather than translating. And that's what's great when children learn languages, is that they don't have to translate in their head like we generally do as adults, because we tend to translate from our native language into English. But you know, that's why storybooks are so great, because as you're reading the words, they're usually illustrated as well. So there's already a reference for them to attach the word to an object or a thing, which really then helps them to understand the meaning of it. Because, for example, I remember when I was teaching in the inner city, London, and lots of children were learning nursery rhymes. But if they didn't have the visual in front of them, they were just saying words. They didn't know what they were saying because lots of these children hadn't had the opportunity to go to a farm necessarily or to a zoo or something to see these animals in real life. So they might be singing a nursery rhyme like Old MacDonald Had a Farm or something, and they're saying these animal names, but they really have no idea what they are saying because there's no reference for them. So that's also really important when teaching children English.
And these modern books, they're just like created for not only reading, like for example, English native speakers, they just admire those books. But for us, it's both, like it serves two purposes. I really love the design of the book, but at the same time, I can teach my kid English with these wonderful books.
Yeah, and there's so many great children's books. So maybe we can put a link in the description down below for people to have a reference of some really great books for learning English and just to read to your children. I'm sure they're translated in many different languages, but if you are keen to teach your children English, it's a really great starting point just to share stories in English as well.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss, I think, is one of the most famous books to read to kids.
Yeah, and that's great as well, Ksenia, because you mentioned that you were reading stories to your daughter that rhyme. And rhyme is one of the first things that we tend to teach as well in nursery or in kindergarten. We learn these nursery rhymes because children learn lots of vocabulary and they start to pick up on the sounds a lot as well. So it's really great that you are sharing these kinds of stories, and I really recommend our listeners to do the same with their children as well. Okay, so if you find it difficult to make English part of your routine, or you're not really sure where to start with teaching your children English, you can use everyday situations. So for example, you could put your toys away in English. So when it's time to tidy up, you could start doing it in English with your children. You could start naming the toys. You could say, you know, some short phrases like, let's put this away. You can even, if you like singing, you could make it a song. You could just make one up. That's what we tend to do in schools as well. We have like a tidy up song. You can even get dressed in English. So in the morning, when they're getting ready, you can name the different clothes that they are putting on and maybe the parts of the body that they are putting them on as well. It's really great ways to learn vocabulary. And even if you go for a walk, you can observe what you see when you go for a walk in English. So it's just making it a small part of your day, but doing it regularly again and repeating it as well so that it sticks. And you know, you don't have to plan for it. It can be something very simple that you can do. Have you guys ever tried anything like this?
To be honest, I've never tried it just because I'm the only who speaks English right now. So my husband doesn't speak it and he really doesn't enjoy it. So it's difficult to apply it. Sometimes we play with that because, yes, it's fun. And even if Timon doesn't understand what I'm talking to him, it's always fun. He knows that I'm so eager to learn myself and I put a lot of effort to do it. And sometimes he knows that I don't pay attention to him. So he calls me mommy in English just to draw my attention to him. And it's funny because then, yes, I really, I'm already... So for sure it works, but I've never tried, and maybe I see that maybe I lost some of experience, but I don't know if it's okay for now. He's 8. Maybe it's time to do it.
Yeah, I have the same experience as Agnieszka just shared with mommy Luke. Mira was watching some, I don't know, show in English. And as I understand, this phrase was like repeating a lot because she learned it herself. I didn't teach her. And one evening I was really busy and she was trying to show me something and I wasn't paying attention. And then she suddenly, mommy, look. And yeah, like Agnieszka said, I just had to look at her. And as for this tip, for this step to success, use everyday situations. We use it a lot because for me, it's the easiest one of all the listed. Because I'm not driving. And because Mira goes to the kindergarten, which is far from us, and she also attends several additional classes like dance classes, music classes. So we use public transport a lot. When we're staying at the bus stop, she likes to name the colors of the passing by cars in English. Then when we go to the kindergarten, I always repeat with her what we see, like, this is a tree, these are leaves, this is a big house, this is a window, like everything we see on our way to the kindergarten, we name it in English. I can't say that we do it like it every day, no, but like twice or three times per week when we both are in a good mood. It's so simple. And for the funny thing is, she's a girl, but she really likes cars, any kinds of transport. And the bigger, the better. So she, every time she sees the tractor, she so loudly, and like all the people in the bus can hear us, and she loudly shouts, "Mommy," like she says it in Russian, "Mama, tractor," and "tractor," she says in English.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, and that's such a great way. Like that's so great that you actually do that together, because already you're like laying foundations of learning lots of vocabulary. You know, the first kind of vocabulary you learn in English as a child, learning colors, forms of transport, learning animal names and all these things. It's like you said, it's very simple, and you know, it doesn't take a lot of planning. You can do it a few times a week. It doesn't have to be every day, but it's going to be really effective in them learning English as well. So, you know, if you're struggling with how to start, I think that's a really good way. And, you know, there's proof that it works with Ksenia using it as well.
Yeah, and it's really, really simple. It's just like, it costs you nothing. And it doesn't take time. The only condition is using more public transport.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing, because it's good for the environment as well to be using public transport. So it opens up the doors to talking about the environment and sustainability.
Yeah, in English.
Yeah. So I think everyone has some great tips there, some really useful information that you can start using. And I want to thank Agnieszka and Ksenia so much for joining me today and for sharing so much of your experience with learning English yourselves, but also with helping your children. I hope you enjoyed joining me as well. Did you have fun?
Yeah, of course. It was really cool. It was like it was an excitement combined with some, I don't know, apprehension or something, because it is the first time for me to record a podcast.
Thank you. I really enjoyed having you both on as well. And maybe we can do some more in the future together as well, because I think it's really valuable for our listeners, because, you know, you have proof here that, you know, you can learn English really well. And one day maybe you will be joining us on the podcast, or you'll be creating your own podcast where you'll be speaking in English as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. There's some really great tips here for you to start using with your children so that you can teach them English as well. And it's a really great way to reinforce your own learning of the language as well. So we'll see you guys in the next podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was a really long "oh, yeah."
Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.